are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on a Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Our guest today will be Anna Ishkamani. She is a state representative for House District 47 in Orlando, Florida. And our sit-down guest is our friend Christy Stewart. She is the executive director of Love, Inc. right here in Melbourne, Florida. Right, Pompeii? Is it Pompeii?
Well, it's Melbourne, right? Yeah, Melbourne.
We also
affirmation. It is Melbourne.
Right. We also have a special guest, Madison Bond. My granddaughter is here. Madison, say hello to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi.
Yeah. And Maddie is going to talk to us a little bit later about her experience with homeschooling with her mom while we are in this shutdown, the stay home, stay safe shutdown.
But and before, you guys look like you made it through okay.
Yeah. Maddie, are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
All right. So, I would love to hug her, but of course we have to socially distance. In our studio. And so, of course, you know, we've been hearing about people who are not receiving unemployment checks, people who are applying for assistance. We've been hearing about the PPE. My daughter Kimberly owns a business, so we've been hearing about the payroll loans that people are supposed
PPP.
To get, PPP.
Yep, Paycheck Protection Plan.
All right. Also, we've been hearing about a recovery. Some people are getting some assistance.
Yes.
And they're doing a lot for the state, but one of the warriors, not warrior as in concern worry, but the warriors as in a fighter,
right,
that's been fighting for people in our state, in Florida, is our good friend that my family is sponsoring her segment today. Dr. Biggie is sponsoring the segment for Anna Ishkamani, state rep for District 47, and she's on the phone. So, Anna, welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We miss having you with us in the studio.
I miss being there, Sita. Thanks for, as always, you know, telling such important stories and making sure people have their voices heard.
Well, I tell you, every time I read your bio, an Orlando native and a daughter of immigrants, and you know how you overwhelmingly was elected to the Florida State House 47, it gives me a lot of pride to know you and to watch you grow and all that you're doing for people. Because when you speak, Anna, and when I look at your videos, I could see a person talking from her heart, not just for Democrats, not just for Republicans, but for all the people in our state. And for that, I want to commend you and
thank you.
So share with us a little bit what is going on right now with the assistance for small businesses in Tallahassee. What are you all working on to help the people who did not get their money after they applied?
Well, when it comes to small businesses, just like with unemployment, it has been such a mess. And we have been doing our best to hold the governor accountable, because as folks might already remember, you know, when the pandemic first struck Florida, the governor created or enacted the Florida Bridge Loan Program, which is supposed to be a short-term loan for small businesses to basically provide you with relief as you access other types of resources. And the governor made this big announcement. The fund was only allocated about $50 million, and about 2-3 weeks ago, it was announced that the fund was depleted, and only 1,000 businesses were awarded out of 38,000 small businesses who had applied. And so we have been just really, really focused on how absurd absurd it is to not even give notice to 37 other small businesses that they want to receive funding. And we've been pushing the governor to add more funding into that program. Some of the small businesses that did benefit CETA, they actually received more than one loan. So we've also really encouraged businesses that if you received more than one loan and now are getting PPP and don't necessarily need that relief anymore, to return the loan so that other businesses can benefit. So we have been, fighting on that front alongside asking the governor to pass more protections for small businesses, whether it's on eviction relief or business interruption insurance coverage for a pandemic. We have a delay on any type of sales tax, use tax. We've tried really hard to be a voice alongside our small businesses, but unfortunately, the results from the executive branch have not been as fruitful as we would like.
Yeah, and one of the things, I've been following your Facebook, and thank you so much for, showing all of us what's happening. We're seeing now, there's such a disparity now between people politically, socially, economically, and it's coming out as we do the testing and we watch what's happening in different communities. And I know you were talking about how many people couldn't afford rent before. Tell us a little bit about some of the phone calls that you're fielding now during this pandemic of the people who are calling and saying, listen, I was living paycheck to paycheck before, but now I can't pay my rent.
You got it. I mean, the reality is that for so many Floridians, they don't have a job to save money, right? But our service-driven economy creates an environment where people are always living paycheck to paycheck. They're one crisis away from homelessness, and that's exactly where we are today. And, the calls we've been receiving, the emails we've been receiving, are Floridians desperate for help, doing everything right, applying for unemployment benefits, applying for SNAP, and yet being deemed ineligible in the Connect system with the Department of Economic Opportunity, or being stuck in pending for weeks with no answer, or being told to reapply. I mean, it's just been such a mess, and we're dealing with a crisis that impacts every person across the state, but of course, those that are already marginalized, those that were already living on the edge, are going to feel the pressure worse. There's been many cases where I have contacted landlords, I've contacted hotels and motels where folks live, and have just tried, to encourage grace and leniency and compassion to make sure folks will still have a roof over their head as they're navigating their payments and trying to get money into their accounts to then, cover these monthly expenses.
Yeah, and I know, so many people want to see a pathway to economic recovery. I think we all want to see our state survive, and we want to see people working again, and we want to see the businesses thriving. But I have a lot of people, a lot of friends who own businesses like in a mall. What happens with those people who still are required to pay their rent in a mall?
Right.
Although the mall is closed, what protection is there for those businesses? What relief can we offer those businesses who are required to pay a rent, but the mall is closed? There's no foot traffic.
It's such a great question, Sita. We've seen the same thing with small businesses that, operate in areas like Park Avenue, Winter Park, or different downtown corridors. It's been very frustrating in the commercial real estate market where so many landlords have not expressed leniency, and including in these mall environments where there are no customers no matter what you do, and you're unable to get the break from your landlord or from the property manager. And we have asked the governor for a moratorium on commercial leases. What I will say is that anyone who might be facing an eviction right now should know a few things. One is that the governor has put into place a 45-day moratorium starting on April 2nd for all evictions of residential renters, but also the freeze covers foreclosures of any property. So if you're talking to your landlord and they're worried about their mortgage, to also know that there is a freeze on foreclosures, and so landlords are protected from that. And at the same time, many banks and lenders are offering forbearance, so it's worth asking to see if forbearance is made available. And then the other part of this, too, is even with the moratorium in place, we also know that courts are not having any non-essential meetings. And the process of an eviction or foreclosure ultimately will require a court order, but the courts are not meeting for those types of issues until at least likely May 29th. And so for anyone going through these struggles as renters, I definitely encourage them to know their rights, seek pro bono legal support, and of course, if you can talk to your landlord about your circumstances, talk to your property manager, and try to get some leniency and forbearance, that is obviously ideal. And I would contact a local lawmaker to offer extra support if you need it.
Right. And you have always been a strong advocate for public schools. Now, we're watching what's happening with our children. They're being homeschooled by parents, elders, people in the community. But there are so many children right now that are at a disadvantage because they're struggling. They were struggling before. And now we have the additional burden of their parents having to be teachers. What are you hearing from some of your constituents about some of the challenges that the children and their parents are facing during this pandemic?
The challenges are very real, and as well for educators too, having to convert, you know, into virtual teaching. But the reality is that not every home environment is conducive to a child's success. Not every home environment is going to have access to food. And so we have been really keen on making sure parents know where they can get food, and trying to support different community-based programming to get food into people's hands, while also thinking about, is it fair, is it equitable to grade kids the same, knowing that some kids are going to be in home environments that is not conducive to a learning environment. So we've been working closely with the Orange County Public School District and really encouraging, again, just creative thinking when it comes to grading students during this time, and really looking towards different grading standards, because there's just no way a kid is going to always succeed in this environment, especially when there's no control, if you will, you know, because everything is going to be a different environment. At least when you're in a classroom setting, you have control over the environment, and right now we don't have that. So we really have to be thoughtful and sensible when it comes to grading students during this time, since the environment really is not conducive to accurate grading.
Right. And Anna, we just want to tell our listeners that we're speaking with Anna Ishkamani, and she is the state rep for Florida House District 47 in Orlando. So one of the concerns a lot of people have today with the states opening up in phases, what happens to the children if they don't open the daycare and parents don't have somewhere to put their children safely? What's going to happen to our kids, not just for schooling, but for parents to return to work and work a 40-hour week so they could continue with their health insurance and pay their bills? So what are we doing?
Right.
What is the state? Do they actually have people in the state house there that actually know people that actually live in the communities and have to pay rent, pay childcare, pay gas in their car,
right.
Put food
right,
on the table?
Right.
I mean, these are real issues facing people that they legislate for, but sometimes I don't think they pay attention.
Right. No, I mean, it's a legitimate question that is grounded in just empathy and experience, because, again, not every lawmaker has ever experienced the inability to pay for childcare or to pay rent on time. So I do think that we need more lawmakers that reflect, you know, the lives of everyday people. With that said, those are our newest challenges right now, is what are parents supposed to do if they are going back to work and have kids to take care of. Now, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA, which is under the CARES Act, it's a type of unemployment insurance that is designed for folks that are otherwise ineligible in Florida. PUA potentially does offer coverage if an individual is the primary caretaker of a child and can't return to work. And so I definitely encourage folks to visit floridajobs.org/CARES-Act, because there's more information there about different types of unemployment benefits that parents might be able to access if they do have to go back to work and can't take care of their child and they're the main caregiver of that child. But ultimately, we have a lot of work to do in guaranteeing that just child care in general is affordable, and we know, unfortunately, that's not.
Right. And you've always been one to fight for fair wages. You've always been one to fight for health care for everyone. Right now, I'm speaking with people, you know, people sending me questions at work or in my emails and stuff, and they're asking me, well, what happens if someone is positive for COVID-19? Some people just don't have that many sick days at their jobs.
Right.
And their employers don't want to offer 2 weeks of pay. do we have protection for people who are tested positive and are told, well, you're not sick enough to be in a hospital, but you have to stay home for 2 weeks? Well, that person still have to pay rent and put food on the table, and they still have to pay their insurance. So what is the state doing for people who have to self-quarantine?
So again, you know, Florida is not a state that really prioritizes workers' rights. And so we're working at a disadvantage because it's the history of the state when it comes to never prioritizing these issues in the past, let alone as a state prioritizing them today. I will say that I would encourage folks to look at the CARES Act and some of the federal relief programs. We have seen PUA. For example, you can get unemployment benefits if you have a member of your household who has been diagnosed with COVID-19. And so PUA might be an option for families to face these different types of situations. And then when it comes to earned sick time, you know, some companies provide it, many don't. And we have already asked that question to the governor of, as we reopen Florida, what are folks supposed to do that their employer doesn't provide earned sick time because they literally can't afford to not go to work? So those are questions that are still unanswered. There is under one of the federal relief packages, I believe it was the second federal relief package, there is now federally available parental leave for different reasons. But again, I would encourage folks, if you're exploring any of these programs, to contact a lawmaker, whether it's federal or state, to get more clarity. The FloridaJobs.org does have more information on some of the unemployment assistance benefits, but the biggest problem with unemployment is that it's not working. And so though these programs sound good, people have not been able to access them because the website is so bad. And that's one of our biggest battles every day.
You almost feel like this is when Yang, you remember when the Yang gang said, just send everybody a check? You almost feel like they should have just done that and just sent everybody a
check. Right.
Because you know what? So many people are trying to get on these websites and it's failing. And then in the meantime, their bills are not stopping, staying in the mailbox and you know, waiting. And then we just had another question that Ellen got. She's going to ask you this really quick.
Hi, Anna. So,
hi.
We got so many questions for you today. So can self-employed people temporarily close their business and collect unemployment?
Yes. Now, officially, PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, is now available. But you have to apply for unemployment insurance in Florida first. And then be deemed ineligible by the state, and then the PUA portal will open up for you eventually. It has not been anywhere close to an ideal system, so it is requiring, unfortunately, a lot of stress from folks going through it. But if you are self-employed, you do qualify now for unemployment insurance in Florida under the PUA.
That's awesome news. Well, Anna, Madison is here, and we were going to, you know my little Maddie, she's going to be 11 pretty soon. And awesome. I was going to have Maddie join into this conversation and tell you as a state representative, Maddie, that's wonderful, tell Anna what you're doing while you're being homeschooled by your mommy at home. What are some of the things? Do you have a schedule?
Well, we've just been doing the homeschool schedule. My teacher will give us, like, a schedule, and we just have to... she gives us like a suggested schedule of what to do each day so we can make our own schedule or we can follow that.
Right.
But I just do like a little bit each day and I break it up so I'm not like too stressed every day. But I definitely like I've picked up some new hobbies. Like I've started doing yoga and meditation during my free time. And we started an herb garden in the backyard.
Aww, so that's awesome.
Doesn't it sound like Pop, right? Pop and his herb garden. But so,
yeah,
so
love that, Maddie. That's great.
Yeah. So Anna, I'm sure you're getting a lot of people that are also talking about the mental health of people in the state and in your constituents. What are some of the things that people are encouraged to do during this COVID-19, because we are seeing a lot of people where we are tribal people. You and I hug. A lot of us hug and we like being around.
Right.
I mean, what are people to do during this shutdown? Because in addition to not having, you know, the workplace to go to, people are now having to sit in their pajamas and be on Zoom at home and they're working from home. But there's just a lot of people who are actually lonely out there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a very high stress time, whether it's you've always had to manage mental health challenges or they're new to you. And so it's really important, like Maddie was painting in her scenario, like finding ways to seek self-care. And it could be meditation, it could be gardening. You should ask for help if you need it. I know there's many mental health organizations that are available that can do telehealth sessions. We also do have the National Suicide Hotline that folks should contact if they are feeling like they might be in danger to themselves. They know someone who could be in danger to themselves or others. So it's really important to ask for help if you need it, to say something if you see something, and to be there for others and to do your best to be kind to others. We're all very stressed and it's very frustrating. But we
and domestic violence, we've seen a spike in people. And, you know, of course,
and child abuse.
Yes, we could do an entire show about the people who are being abused right now. And then, of course, we could talk about the undocumented who cannot even come forward if they're being abused right now. But the domestic violence hotline, they're saying that people are so stressed out that they're taking out all their stresses on their children and the ones that they love, which, again, I think I encourage people to go outside, take deep breaths, you know, walk away for a little bit, because what are we going to do? Even if you call the cops and they have to socially distance and be careful when they come to your home.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing is really scary. And again, I think it is important for people to know the domestic hotline, the child abuse hotline, the National Suicide Hotline. You can find, you know, all these different phone numbers through Google, because you want to make sure that you know where to report if you need to. And again, if you are experiencing abuse or witness abuse, you should definitely consider reporting it. And victim advocates will be very thoughtful in what those next steps are. But you know, if you are fearful of something, you definitely want to communicate that, because this is a time of high stress, a time of folks you know, seeking outlets in different ways. Sometimes it can turn into violence, and we need to really support one another to make sure that folks are going to be safe this pandemic.
Well, Anna Ishkamani, I know you are building a better Florida for so many of us with all the volunteers and people that believe in you. Give us your website so we can send people to direct to help in your efforts to get reelected and donate time and money and energy. Give us your website, and we just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sita. And folks can follow us online. We're at AnnaForFlorida.com and AnnaForFlorida on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, all spelled out with two N's. So definitely keep in touch. If you need us for anything, I encourage you to email me at anna.eskamani@myfloridahouse.gov.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for answering all those hard questions, too. And
absolutely.
We know you're up late.
Thank you. Y'all be safe.
You too.
Yeah, and now we're going to go right over to Madison. We're going to give her some time. So, Maddie, we can go around the room, Ellen. Some of the life lessons we're learning right now about being together, family. We are socially distancing. Mm-hmm. We're doing our best through this pandemic. But I want Maddie to tell us what she's learning from all of this. Maddie, what are you learning from what has happened to our world with the coronavirus, COVID, the big bad COVID-19? Do you like being at home with mommy and daddy? Are you learning that family comes first?
Yeah, definitely. I'm spending more time with my family. Like the other day, we went swimming for the whole day and we just had fun. And like, I wasn't, like, on my technology or anything. We were just, like, having fun and just spending time together.
Yeah. Do you feel like technology is taking over our lives somehow?
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but sometimes it takes over my life, too. Like, sometimes I find myself staying up pretty late, but I try not to stay up late anymore, but... Yeah.
But you read a lot, too. Do you find yourself, because you read, you paint, you play piano. How can you encourage others to read? Because, you know, I have a lot of friends who are librarians.
Yeah.
And even before the pandemic, they were saying that a lot of parents don't read. Do you feel like the parents should set the example and then the children will start reading?
Yeah, probably one of the things that influences me to read more is that my mom reads a lot, and so does my dad. And, I mean, I just, like, break it down. Like, if you don't read very much, read, like, 20 pages one day, 30 pages the next day, and then, like, I did that, and now I'm reading like 100 pages a day.
Yeah, how'd you get involved in yoga and meditation?
Through my mom, actually. Like, she was doing yoga in the living room, and I saw her, and I, over the next few days, I was just like, you know, that seems like a good idea. I have time to, you know, eat up. So I was just like, I'll pick up that.
Yeah. And you do understand that words matter and how we treat mm-hmm. other people matter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been trying to be a kind and gentle all your life, which I appreciate. I'm your grandmother and I could say you are. But what would you tell other people out there who are not being kind, who are not nice, who are not reaching out to others? Because people do get lonely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just if you're ever like upset with someone, just, you know, maybe, like you said, take a break, take a couple deep breaths. Meditation definitely helps me stay calmer when I'm stressed with school. But yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any life goals? Like by at your age, I knew that I wanted to be so many things. I wanted to be a flight attendant. Then I wanted to come to America. Then I wanted to be an actress. And I never really aspired to be in law or medicine. I didn't really think I was smart enough. But do you have any life goals at your age now?
So there was this one day in school where my quest teacher told me, she said, pick a profession that you might want to do and plan out like where you might go to college if you followed through in that profession. So I did, and I looked up different colleges, and I looked up law school colleges, or law school schools, and I mean, I think being a lawyer would be pretty cool. My aunt is a lawyer, so I mean...
And your uncle? Uncle Anna?
Yeah, I can just follow in their example. They can teach me how to do things, so I have, like, you know, references.
Yeah. Do you have a college and a law school all picked out?
Not... Really? There was a point in time where I was thinking of going to law school in Canada. And then I haven't really gotten that far in the plan, but I definitely want to be a lawyer.
Ellen, what about you? Did you have any goals at the age of 10 going on? I mean, she's going to be 11 in 2 weeks and she speaks
15 days. Yeah.
And she in 15 and she knows it all.
I was around my brothers and my dad a lot, so I learned how to, like, change oil in a car, and my big dream was that I was going to open up a garage, and it was going to be all women technicians. So that was going to be my thing. So I was always, like, even at a young age, I was always interested in opening up. I knew I was going to open up my own business, but I always wanted it centered around women somehow, because my mom was a big advocate, you know, for women's rights and so forth, so.
Maddie, I'm Maddie knows.
But at 10, it was rough.
Yeah, but Maddie,
I wanted to be everything. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a dolphin trainer.
Yeah, but you know, Maddie, you've seen a lot. I mean, you read a lot, and you're around a lot of people that encourage you to read. Do you feel like reading has opened up your mind to so many things?
So this has happened to me, and I know it happens to a lot of other kids out there. Like, you think about reading and you just like feel like it would be a good idea, but you just don't have the motivation to do it. But once I actually start reading, I just like get sucked in. Like I just like zone out and just like I feel like I'm living inside my book.
Yeah. That's where you and I have something in common, because I can't put a book down when I say, what about people who own businesses? You've seen a lot of challenges and tribulations with people who own businesses. Do you feel like it's a great job or it's a little bit risky?
Owning a business?
Yeah.
Okay. So my dad, he owns a business. And my mom, like, they had to temporarily close, but they're still like trying to make sales.
Yeah. So it's challenging
during
this pandemic.
It is.
So people need to understand that we ought to support our small businesses because just like everybody else, the businesses, they have to pay rent, they have to pay bills, and they have to pay their employees as well. So thanks for sharing that with us, Maddie. I think, Ellen, what a great segment.
Yes.
It's always nice, out of the mouth of babes, right?
Right.
So, Maddie, do you feel like the United States have a lot of opportunities for people? People just have to reach out and grab it? Because I feel that way.
Yeah.
Which one are you grabbing right now?
What do you mean?
Which opportunity are you grabbing? The opportunity to educate yourself and become somebody in life?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess. She will say that for grandma. But, you know, the truth is children do learn from their environment. We are what we eat, think, and breed, right?
Yes.
And I see her, and I know that the great example that my daughter Kimberly is setting and her dad, Scotty and Derek, they're doing a great job.
That's right.
Because and she's parents, blessed.
Yeah.
She has a lot of, you have a lot of support, don't you?
Mm-hmm. And you parents like even need to be thinking about joking around. You know, like joking around saying, oh, I have to be a school teacher again and all of those things. Because it, you know, you hear that.
What did Pop do about your piano when you said you wanted it tuned?
Oh, yeah. Their piano was very out of tune. So I said, this really needs to be tuned. I can't play my songs. It doesn't sound good. So he went and he got a guy and he brought him in and they tuned it. And next time I went over there, it sounded perfect.
Yay,
yeah.
Pop.
Yeah.
Well, we have to take a break to listen to our sponsors, but it has been such a great first segment. It's hard to say. So it's only a quick goodbye.
Yes.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free no-credit checking and financing and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Ellen, what a great first segment.
Was a great first segment.
It felt longer than a half hour, actually, because we got so much in.
It did. So we had Anna Escrimani call in from District 47. That's over in Orlando. She's the state representative. And we had Madison Bond, your granddaughter.
Yeah.
Which, you know, added such great value. And now we have Christy Stewart, who's here from Love, Inc.
That's
to
right.
To talk about loveincbrevard.org or .com.
It's the ink is in the name of Christ. So it's Love, Ink of Brevard, Ink.
Oh, there we go. Sweet. I thought that's what it was. But Christy was on our show when we were at the old studio about 5 years ago.
When we were a half
hour
show.
She hasn't changed. She hasn't changed at all.
That's right.
Well, you're very kind.
We went to an hour within like 2 months. So she had one of the segments there.
Okay.
So Christy Stewart is the executive director at Love, Inc., and you received your BA in Organizational Communications from the University of Central Florida. Go Knights!
Yes, go Knights.
I think my daughter and my two sons went to UCF. You've lived in Brevard since 1994, and you moved here as a grocery store manager for Albertsons?
That's right.
I remember Albertsons here on Lake Washington.
Yes, I was at the Palm Bay store right at 95 in Palm Bay Road.
And then from there, you went into Love, being an executive director.
Well, actually, when I worked in the grocery store business, I was scheduled 6 days a week and worked 70 hours a week. So I was like, this is no way to live your life. So I had waited tables when I was in college, so I went back to waiting tables. So I was in the service industry here for years in Brevard County. And then I became a volunteer at Love, Inc. about 8 years ago. So I was their volunteer coordinator for about
That's
a year and a
half. That's why you enjoy chatting with people, because you are a people person, Christy.
Yes, I'm a people person.
Because anybody who works in retail, I mean, you know what? There's such a joy in saying hello to people.
Yes.
Everyone has a story to tell.
Yes.
Like I was telling you that somebody was telling me something about Venezuela, and I actually talk to people from Venezuela, and I hear the pros and cons about what's going on in their country and why they'd like to return and whatnot. But you talk to a lot of people, and you must have seen a need in the community for what Love, Inc. offers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Love, Inc. it's an international organization. And we are a partnership of churches. So Love, Inc. provides the structure for Christians to come together with their gifts, talents, and resources to help people in need. So that was what I saw, that need for to bring that Big C church together to help people in need right here in Brevard County. And the people that we help, I love that we walk with them through their need, not around it.
Yes.
So through relationship, because we know it's in relationships that we grow and change. So through relationships, we walk with people spiritually, physically, emotionally, and relationally so that they can be set free.
Right. And you're instilling, dignity. You're giving them education. You're also promoting economic development. And you're transforming lives.
Yes.
You are. Because some of the things, Ellen, you should see their website, some of the things they do. They help them with auto repair, vehicle donations, bus passes, gas cards, affordable housing. You help with those things. You really take people by the hand and you show them the way.
Yes.
Which is what it's all about, right?
Yes. And one thing I loved about Love, Inc. when I first heard of the organization is we try not to duplicate what's already being done well in our community. Right. We want to join in. For example, we don't do housing, but there's lots of great organizations in Brevard County that do housing. And so because we're hearing from our client exactly what their situation is, we can say, here's the organization you want to call.
Yeah.
This is the one that's going to help you.
Yeah, so you have the resources that they need.
Yes.
You could give them the information and say. And what I like about Love, Inc., for listeners who are tuning in, is you guys serve individuals from all religions, all race, color, national origin, gender expression, marital status, economic status. It doesn't matter. People are people, and you treat them
with dignity and with love.
That is absolutely correct.
Right.
Yep, we serve all.
So tell us a little bit, how did you, I mean, you got involved as a volunteer.
Yes.
But what was that draw that says, you know what, I'm going to become the executive director of this outfit?
What was the draw? Wow. Yeah.
Voluntold, maybe?
Something must have happened,
I did interview for the position. Yeah. Our previous executive director, which was last time we were on the show, Dan Walker was here with us. He was the executive director for 12 years, and he and his family moved out of state. And so I did interview for the job. Really, I just sought the Lord to see if that was what he wanted for my life. And he made that clear to my husband and I. And then I interviewed, and the Lord gave me a vision, and he gave me 7 words. And 4 of those words fit Love Inc. And that was bringing the community together and eradicating drug addiction, payday loans, domestic violence, and working with getting people out of the sex trade.
Yeah.
And so when he gave me that vision, I had no idea that this position was opening as executive director. But when it opened and I interviewed and I shared that vision with those that were interviewing me, they felt like, okay, this is a perfect match. Because that's what we do, is we change our communities, and we do that in a unified way. So we work with all sorts of different, you know, nonprofits, ministries, organizations, to really make Brevard County a better place to live for our people in need.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a Lifetime channel junkie, and I like watching those movies. And I see a lot of human trafficking.
Yes.
And it comes from people very wealthy, yeah, all walks of life, in every area of, and you're saying that you saw some of that here in Brevard?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You've had calls on people that came and said, this is what's happening?
Yes, yes.
And what sort of resources is there in the community besides, well, we've had Claire Ellis on from the Zonta Club, and we've talked about that, but I'm concerned that you had to mention that too, that Love Inc. sees a lot of that.
Well, we see the need to bring the community together to eradicate that here in Brevard County.
Yeah.
You know, we're very close to, actually, Vero Beach is a very big place where there's a lot of sex trafficking. We've got the Cape here, you know, with the cruise lines, and we are kind of a port, kind of a hub for that. And so with Love Inc., what we do is we make those connections to make those changes in our community, in our county. So we're talking with people who that are on the front lines of this, and then we're looking to say, okay, who can we bring together to really help make change in our community involving the sex trade? And these other words, as I mentioned as well.
Yeah. So right now with COVID-19, I'm sure you're seeing an increase in phone calls and need in the community. What is happening at Love Inc.? What are you guys seeing a lot, or how are you helping people right now?
Yeah. So as you mentioned earlier, we're a hand up, not a handout. So the people that we walk with play a part in the process. But we do recognize that relief and restoration have to go hand in hand. So this is a time where we really need to provide relief, right? You know, we're, a lot of our people are in a tight spot. So we actually came up with some really creative ways to help people. One of them is we've partnered with a local restaurant owner. And one of our pastors was a part-time Uber driver. And so he felt a word from the Lord that said, give them something to do. So they contacted Love Inc., and so we have set up a fund on our website specifically for, we call this one Give Them a Meal, but also for COVID-19 relief. And so that's where the funds are coming from. And so we're paying the restaurant cost for their food, and then the Uber driver said, hey, we want to volunteer, but can you help us with gas? So we're putting gas in their tanks, and then we're providing the clients. So most of our clients that are a part of this Give Them a Meal program are the elderly, but it's also immune compromised individuals and people that are on mandatory quarantine who can't afford to have Instacart come and bring them groceries to their house. So we are providing them meals 3 times a week during this time period. So it's super exciting. They have really appreciated it. And the restaurant is called The Bearded Chef, and the food is amazing.
So, you know, for Madison here, who is 10 and listening with us in the studio, tell our listeners and my little grandchild, Madison, give us a crash course in who are actually the hungry and the homeless here in Brevard.
Well, it spans from the elderly to families with young children. It's people with mental health issues.
Right now, right?
Yes, people with mental health issues. One of our biggest service areas at Love Inc. is women between the ages of 40 and 55 who have either aged out of the workforce or found themselves, you know, divorced and alone and just hadn't known how to do a lot of the things that you learn to do in life. And there's a real gap in our community for single women without children. So we are working currently with another nonprofit that is getting ready to open up a more of a year-long, two-year place for women in that category. But really, as far as homeless goes, it spans all.
Right. And you probably see a lot of families that do live paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the other things that we're doing is we see a need that the need for the food banks is really going to increase. I think that it hasn't quite happened yet because I think people had their tax return checks and then they had the stimulus checks. But I think in the next couple weeks, that's going to be where the food banks are going to get hit. And so we, for free, are saying to our community food banks, let us help you. And we are partnering with a wholesaler whose customer is normally the restaurant business.
Yeah.
And they have lost business. So they're partnering with us and they're allowing us to purchase food at cost. And through this COVID-19 fund, we are for free bringing in food to these food banks to prepare them for what is to come.
Well, and we just had Greg from the Second Harvest Food Bank on.
Yes, he was on last week.
Yeah, last week.
But I think it's wonderful what they're doing because there are a lot of people who are furloughed or maybe they lost their jobs and they've got a car and they want to help. And so if you give them the gas, they'll put in the time.
Yes.
And they'll drop the food off for people.
Yes.
But so the people are getting it three times a week. So, I wonder what happens the other days, you know, if they're, you know, you're getting food three times a week, but you were hoping that they have something to eat the rest of the time because we all know of the schools that are now saying, well, they're providing meals for the children who
yes.
used to eat at school. How many kids went to school hungry?
Yes, yes. And we were actually involved in that when the shutdown first happened. Brevard Public Schools through Children's Hunger Project reached out to us because they were lacking in funding. So for about 3 weeks, we helped provide, we organized churches and funds and helped provide food for three different hubs. And one of those school hubs, you know, you don't have to go to that school, but it's a place where anyone with families can come. So we were able to fill that gap for them. They were then able to get the funding to tackle all 27 of those hubs. But yeah, it's really seeing the need and filling the gap and bringing the resources together to help us as a community build strong. That's what we do.
And I like the fact that you say that you walk people through it.
Yes.
So it's not like just here's a phone number call, but you know, you might even have a name or something like that. That's a little bit better than maybe some of the other resources, not to shirk anybody else
yeah.
that's been doing it, but
yeah.
but it's tough because there's so much of a need right now. And these folks are getting so many phone calls. You know, the housing assistance, Brevard Housing Assistance is getting a ton of phone calls. They don't even have the staff to return calls.
Yeah.
Or the place
so
to put people to live. I mean, we're so
yeah.
fortunate. And I said, we all have to say thank God that those of us that do have a home, do have food on the table, do you have friends and a support system? We all
yes.
talk about faith and family and food and finances and the ability to forgive and all that. But post-COVID, what do you see happening with Love Inc.?
Well, we've been very fortunate that almost all of our volunteers said we still want to serve. And so they continued calling their clients weekly and checking in on them and making sure that they were doing well. We actually just opened up our offices and our thrift store today.
Well, tell our listeners where
yeah.
they can go to support
yeah, exactly.
the thrift shop.
So our thrift store is at the corner of Apollo and Sarno. We're to the left of Planet Fitness. It's called Village Thrift Store. And 100% goes back into helping people in need here in Brevard County. And we really see it as a community thrift store. So any families that that are foster care families, when they get children the night before, they often come with just the clothes on their back. They can come into our thrift store and get three outfits per child for free. We work with several different nonprofits here in town where their clients are working hard to get sustainable. They can come in and get clothing for free. We work with pregnancy resources. We might put to like two strollers on our floor, but everything else we give to them because that's going to help change our community. So we really do see Village Thrift as a community thrift store.
Right. And the thing is, you know, most people want to see others thrive.
Yes.
I don't, sometimes I get, you know, people worry about who's a Republican, who's a Democrat, who's an independent, who's black, who's white, who's green, whatever. The bottom line is at the end of the day, collectively, we're all human beings trying to survive on this journey called life.
Yes.
And if we can help someone, why not? Yes. So if somebody have items at home that are good, in good condition, they can drop it off to the thrift shop as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's 830 North Apollo Boulevard. We are following CDC guidelines, and anything that gets donated, we are setting aside for a certain amount of time before we bring it out on the floor. But we're doing lots of cleaning, and we've got our masks and our shield. And one thing that I love about our thrift store is for our clients, they can come in and shop for what they need, furniture, appliances, houseware, and clothing, and they get 80% off of thrift store prices. If they can't pay their 20%, they can volunteer at a rate of $10 an hour credit.
Oh.
So we're providing a way for them to play a part in getting their own needs met. So any donations, again, are going right back into our community.
And you lift their self-esteem as well.
Yes, that's that dignity piece, right?
Yes,
they get
right.
to pick out which couch they want, which fits their color scheme. Maybe they need one with a pull-out couch, you know, based on their family size.
So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, give us like a day in the life of Christy at Love Inc. What type of people are calling in and saying, listen, I need help. I need a couch. I need a place to live. I need clothing. I mean, tell us, like, because people have this idea that only folks who are down and out in their luck is calling, but it's not so, right? You have
Correct.
A variety of people from all walks of life.
We do. Yeah, all walks of life with all sorts of different needs. So we want to build relationships. So we take that time to really hear their story and see how we can come alongside them. And then it's a give and take. So we're asking them to do a few things as we've heard their story and see how we can't help them. And then we're along the way supporting them, like you had mentioned, you know, gas cards and food cards or bus passes. And that educational piece, Sita, you really hit on is key. We work with 9 different mental health counselors here in our community, and they have not stopped seeing people in need. You talked about, you know, the need for counseling during this COVID time. So we're just continuing with those educational pieces. Our budget mentoring class is moving forward. We have one-on-one career mentoring. We're providing those tools that people need in their toolbox to help them get set free. And we do that through relationships. And again, you ask, you know, who is our target audience? It really is all.
Right.
Yes.
And you say it's faith-based.
Yes.
You give people the information about faith. But
yes.
it's up to them to take it in and act on
yes.
it.
Yes.
And you're not going to shove it down their throats.
That's
but you
right.
say, but, you know, like I was born in a Hindu home, but I went to Christian schools and I loved it. And I have families who are Muslims and I have families who are from different faiths. But it's beautiful to have a relationship with our creator.
Yes.
No matter what we call it.
Yes.
And there's absolutely something beautiful about having a relationship with Jesus Christ as well.
Yes.
And I see it with my friends, my family, and they give to their family so much more because they're able to sit down. What is that saying that families that break bread together stays together or whatever, something like that?
There's a bunch
yeah.
of family prays together, they stays
together.
Together.
Together. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you guys are a family.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like that you call the thrift shop the Village Thrift.
Yes.
Because we talk about it takes a village all
yes.
the time.
Yes.
Well, and the brilliance behind that about being able to work off at the shop. I remember seeing that quite
yeah.
a few years ago when you guys were on US1.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
and how that was and how that transformed people's lives. And
yes.
I said, how did you get so many volunteers? And then I heard the story of how that happens. And
yes.
it was just a really great, great feeling.
Yeah.
It really was.
So if somebody wanted to help out at Love Inc., give us the website and tell us what are you in need of right now besides volunteers. We always hear everybody needs volunteers. What can the community do to help?
So our website is loveincbrevard.com. And if you are interested in contributing to what we're doing for COVID, there were two other initiatives I did not mention. But when you go onto our website, you can click right on COVID-19, and that'll give you more information about the four different initiatives we have right now. So certainly people can give directly to COVID-19. But we definitely need funds for our general fund. Our thrift store has been closed for 2 months. So funding is definitely needed. And then we are a partnership of churches. So if you are a church and you want to learn more about how to get involved and partner with us, we want to come alongside you and hear how we can help fulfill the vision that God's given you for your direct community. And so you can do that as well through our website. Our phone number is 321-253-9542. So you can call there as well if you're a person in need or if you're a person that wants to just volunteer or donate.
Well, I'm going to have Madison read off a few of the things that that's happening over at Love, Inc. right here, Maddie. Read off some of the things that Christy Stewart and the good people at Love, Inc. are doing for the community.
Auto repair, vehicle donations, vehicle purchase program, bus passes, gas cards, home repair, yard work, house cleaning and organization, furniture, appliances, and housewares. Prayer, resources.
You like prayer. You pray, right?
Yeah. Resources by participation and collaboration. Personal care pantry. Clothes, grocery cards, budget, mentoring, career mentoring, and life skills.
So life skills is the one that I love the most. And you're trying to help people to get back into the community and be a functioning member of society.
Yes.
Which is beautiful. And that's through education and prayer and all the other things you're doing.
And if you don't have that love and that relationship first, it's really hard for people to move forward. And so we believe that that's what Christ can do for your life. Yeah. Set you free.
It's so beautiful, right? Yeah, it is so beautiful. Let's just get the website one more time so we can direct all
our
friends
and
listeners.
And by the way, I put it on our website, on our blog,
wonderful,
and also on Facebook. So all of the information that we shared today, including the information from the first segment, which we'll talk about in just a second, is all on.
Well, Maddie, I was going to give you $10 for coming today. Would you like to donate it to Love, Inc.?
Sure.
All right.
Well, look, you're going to make
a donation for Maddie right here, and you wanted to go to COVID-19, or you wanted to go to the children or the food pantry? Which one? Which one of the sites did she put it into?
The children.
Okay. There you have it. Yeah.
Thank you, Maddie.
Well, once again, another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you to our guest, Christy Stewart, the Executive Director of Love, Inc., to Madison Bond, and as well to Anna Eshkamani, the District 47 State Representative. Thank you so much, and see you next week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS.